spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed is the man that doth not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that will bring forth her fruits in due season, whose leaf shall not fade. So whatsoever he shall do shall prosper. Blessed is the man that doth not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that will bring forth her fruits in due season, whose leaf shall not fade. So whatsoever he shall do shall prosper. Yeah. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which suffer persecution for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed shall it be when men revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you for my sake falsely. Blessed is the man that doth not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord.
Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. The city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be satisfied. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men hate you, and when they separate you, and revile you, and put out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day and be glad, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For after this manner their fathers did to the prophets. The wicked are not so, but as the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore,
BBSRadio.com. Every time we turn our heads the other way, when we see the flawed flouted, when we tolerate what we know to be wrong, when we close our eyes and ears to the corrupt because we're too busy or too frightened, when we fail to speak up and speak out, we strike a blow against freedom and decency and justice. Robert Kennedy. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same, or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. Martin Luther, the great reformer, stated, "When you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hold on."
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker, rocker, rocker.
Good day, America. Welcome, Christians, conservatives, constitutionalists, liberals, libertarians, communists, Islamists, LGBTQ, RSTV, WXYZ people, all the boat rockers in the house, and anybody else I may have missed, to the Sons of Liberty radio show, where we use the Bible and the Constitution, not to see who's on the right or the left, but who is on the straight and narrow. I'm your host, Tim Brown, coming to you live from the U.S. occupied state of South Carolina, the editor at sonsoflibertymedia.com, and for our Muslim friends, I'm the infidel that Allah warns you about, to hold to the book, the Bible, as the authoritative word of God. Glad that you guys have joined us this morning, or this afternoon, excuse me, still in the morning time. If you'd like to check us out online, please do so, sonsoflibertyradio.com, also sonsoflibertymedia.com. In fact, if you're listening by way of the radio and you want to watch the video portion of the radio show, head over to sonsoflibertymedia.com. There you're going to see two videos at the top of the page. The one on the right side is the morning show from this morning. So if you missed that and you want to catch it, you can do so up until 6 o'clock in the morning, at which time we'll be live in that area, Lord willing. On the left side of the page is where we're at. Click on the play button, blow it up whatever device you got. Look for the Rumble icon. It'll be on the bottom right corner of that video. If you click on that, it'll take you over to Rumble. And we've got a chat over there, a lot of friends over there this afternoon. So good afternoon, guys. Good to see you. And while you're there, please subscribe to that channel. It's Sons of Liberty Radio Live, Sons of Liberty Radio Live on Rumble. We're also on beforeitsnews.com, top of the page there, as well as dlive.tv at The Sons of Liberty. And also, good afternoon to our friends on my highly censored Facebook pages. Good to see you guys as well. Real quickly, let me highlight just a few items from our store. You can get there by going to thesonsoflibertysquarespace.com, or you can click the link for store off of sonsoflibertymedia.com. But if you notice, we have added a couple of music CDs in here. Alarm for War is Bradley's band. This is called Enemies of the State. That's the CD that's in there. Also, Stephanie Joy, that's Bradley's wife. Walk Your Road CD, that's also available now in the store, as well as the new books from last year, Soldier of the Cross, All the Prophets Are Pointing the Front, and Children of the Apostate. And you can get them in a three-pack bundle if you want to do that. You can save $5 if you want to check that out. And then finally, if you'd like to help keep us out there doing internet radio and out among the people teaching our Christian and constitutional heritage, go over to sonsoflibertymedia.com. There's a donate button at the top of the page. Click on that and you can make a one-time donation, or you can partner with us monthly as a son or daughter of liberty. That link is also at the top of the page. And guys, we really do appreciate your support very much. Well, I got to tell you, they say if you're in the South and you don't like the weather, just hang around for a day or two and it'll change. And indeed it has. Sunday It must have been in the 80s out here. It was warm. It was sunny. It was great. It was really nice. And then, lo and behold, yesterday came in, and it started to turn a little cooler. Today, it's raining. It's around 30, I want to say it's around 32, 30-something. It's a little chilly out there. We just came in from making some rounds, running around and some stuff like that. But, boy, the weather has really done a number on us, I can tell you that. If you're in the South and you don't like the weather, like I say, just hang around. And you'll probably like something else that comes up. As far as snow, we're not like Bradley and them. We don't have we're not Minnesota or anything like that. I think the snow that we had a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if they said it was an inch or whatever. It was barely anything, just to cover the ground. That was it, just to white it out, and then the next day it was gone. So we don't get drastic snowstorms and things like that here in South Carolina, that's for sure. All right, today I figured what we would do is we'd do just a little education, okay? You guys have seen right out of the gate, it's like presidents. It doesn't matter who they are anymore. And I'm not just an issue on Trump. Joe Biden did it. Barack Obama did it. George W. Bush did it. And it's becoming more and more commonplace where presidents, when they get into office, they want to immediately start signing executive orders. And I believe it was Donald Trump when his first day in this time, it was more than 100 of them in the first day. Now, some of those executive orders are legitimate. They are ordering people in the executive branch to do certain things. The president does not have the power of law. I know they think they do, and I know some people think they do. They think they have power of law. We got into a discussion with a friend of mine the first term that Trump was in, when he was talking about tariffs. I'm going to impose these tariffs. Well, he doesn't have that authority. That's Congress's role. That's Congress's role. He doesn't do that. They do it. All right. And then he sees that it's enforced. He doesn't write law. He may make a policy based on their law, but it's got to be based on the law. And their law has to be based on the authority they've been given in the Constitution. So we're going to take a look at some of that in a minute. And I just lost one of my pages, so I'll have to pick that up in just a little bit. But if you'll recall, November the 2nd, 2010, election night. You guys remember John Boehner? I don't even hear much from that guy anymore. I mean, is he still around? Is he in the Betty Ford Clinic or something like that? I don't know what the deal is. He said in his victory speech, this is what he said. While our new majority will serve as your voice in the people's house, we must remember it is the president who sets the agenda for our government. The next morning, Ezra Klein said, I'd like Boehner to show us where in the Constitution it says that the president sets the agenda for the government. Yeah, I'd like to see that too. I'd like to see that too. And this is why people refer to him as a leader. He's not a leader. Again, we need to get our understanding of what these guys do right so that we deal with them properly. They are servants. If you were to go to the New Testament, you would see them as the deacon. You would see them as the diakonos, the servant. Okay? That's what a president's supposed to be. That's what a judge is supposed to be. That is what representatives and senators are supposed to be. They're there to be employees, servants of the people. And they're supposed to be accountable to the people. But somehow, through the education process, the ripping apart of the family, and everything else that's going on in this country, what's happened? The roles have been almost reversed. The people think they're their leaders. That they are the sovereigns instead of the states. And so the roles have reversed, and they've picked up on that. They said, we can just do whatever we want. Well, no, you can't. No, you can't. And the people are going to have to hold them accountable. We'll be right back. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Hang on.
Hello, this is Caleb Collier, host of Church and State. Find us at churchandstate.media. Take it from me, you have to listen to Bradley Dean. Bradley Dean is one of the greatest theologians and patriots of our time. He is leading the charge in our modern-day revolution. Bradley doesn't pull punches and always presents what is right, not beholden to party, politics, or pulpits. I am proud to call him friend. He is truly a son of liberty.
Content Christian Media Conference is hosting a one-day event on Monday, February 24th at Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas. It's one amazing day of fellowship, networking, screenings, panels, and inspirational keynotes. There'll be breakouts on filmmaking, storytelling, writing, distribution, and more, with lunch included. It's perfectly timed, just before the start of NRB.
Register at christianmediaconference.com.
So you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and keep thinking to yourself, there are so many others who need to hear this message too, but you don't know quite how to reach them. Well, then this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. Why not schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty? It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. We all have loved ones, neighbors, and those around us that need to not only hear the truth, but be moved to action to do something about the problems that we face and make a difference in their own lives and communities. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean near you, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747 and start making a difference in your world today.
Don't have a place to go for church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with Scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all true Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you're looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inerrant Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on Sons of Liberty Radio Live on Rumble.
So that this nation may long endure, I urge you to follow in the hallowed footsteps of the great disobedience of history that freed exiles, founded Christianity, defeated tyrants, and yes, in the hands of an aroused rabble, in arms and a few great men, Charlton Heston. The brave man inattentive to his duty is worth little more to his country than the coward who deserts her in the hour of danger. President Thomas Jefferson.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. Well, they say this is the fastest hour on the radio, and that seemed like a pretty fast break to me, too. So the time's going really quick here. By the way, if you tuned in listening for Bradley's voice, he and his family are doing some events. They're going to be traveling and things like that, so he asked me if I'd fill in for him. So just to let you know, tomorrow morning, Lord willing, we're going to have David Rizzolatta on, and we're going to be talking about a particular executive order dealing with guns, so you don't want to miss that. And then, Lord willing, tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to introduce you to my pastor over here, the head elder at our church at Bethany ARP, and we're going to be talking a little bit about this issue of why Christians, professed Christians, are wanting to go back into all this Jewish stuff. They want to go back into all this Jewish stuff. And I think it's dangerous. I think this is exactly what the writer of Hebrews is warning about when he talks about the people falling away and they're going back into that old covenant system. It's a real problem today, and a lot of people are getting caught up in that, and they're clinging on. They'll tell you about, you know, that they love Jesus and that's not, but they're clinging on to the shadows and the types and stuff. You've got to be careful of that. If you're learning something from it and you're seeing Christ in it, that's great, because we're going to talk about feasts in the morning show coming up soon. And those feasts point to the person of Christ. That's fine. You can take and do those things. That's great. If you can learn something from that, that's great. But the fact of the matter is, we have the reality, and we shouldn't be hanging on those. But today we're talking about executive orders. And the role or the enumerated powers of the presidency. Now, One of the things is, as you heard the quote from Boehner, and look, this has been going on, I don't know, since I was young. And I still feel pretty young, but I, you know what I mean? Because I thought I was a little boy. You've often had the people that look to their presidents or the representatives as leaders. Somebody, especially the president, he comes in and sets up the agenda. He's got the quote-unquote bully pulpit, right? So they put all of the, now we got Congress taking the authority we gave them and trying to transfer it over. Well, actually, they have transferred it. It's unlawful to do so, but they transferred it over to the president. Now a president can just go to war wherever he wants to. It isn't about defending America. He can just go, and if he's got 60 days, he can get back to Congress and say, yeah, this is what I did. It's not a threat to us. All of us would understand if we were under attack here in America that we would expect him to, he's not going to wait around for a vote. He's going to be doing that in Congress. What they should be doing is, as they're fed the details, they should be voting on whether or not they're going to declare war or whatever. But to defend the country, shouldn't have to have a real big issue of that. But we see them just doing whatever they want. So, we heard from Boehner. He says, the president sets the agenda for the government. Now, my friend Publius Holda, who I've learned quite a bit from, we had her on the show many years ago, a spunky lady out of Tennessee, former, I believe she's Army JAG. And here's what she wrote. She said, the agenda the Constitution sets restricts the federal government to war, international relations, and commerce. And domestically, the establishment of a uniform commercial system, a monetary system based on cryptocurrency, fiat money, nope, gold and silver, weights and measures, patents and copyrights, a bankruptcy code, and mail delivery. And this is according to Article 1, Section 8, Clauses 1 to 16. That's where you find the enumerated powers of Congress, okay, that they have, that they can actually write legislation for, and they can fund. If it's not in there, they're not supposed to be writing legislation on it, and they're not supposed to be funding it. Thus, why we speak out against things like the education system. No authority there at all. Now, if you want the enumerated powers of the president, where do you go? Article 2, right? And that's where you'll get it. By the way, I've got a little pocket constitution here. And one of the interesting things that you'll find here is how short Article 2 is. So that is Article 2. And then there's another portion and a paragraph. That's Article 2. That's it right there. That's it. Okay. For what these guys are supposed to do. And in Article 2, there's just really a few things the president does or is authorized to do. And I think there would probably be, I think there's a reason the Mockingbird media and the presidents have gone along with these daily press things constantly. You know, it's to drum up that he's the one everybody looks to instead of seeing him as a servant. And so somehow, whatever he does during the day, it's important enough where we have to have press conferences every single day. Well, they were supposed to be limited. They were supposed to be limited. So let's look at what things that we find here in the Constitution. I just dropped my paper again because that piece, I've worn out this little book that the staples are out of it. And so I've dropped it again. I'll have to get it in a minute. The first thing we see is in Article 1, Section 7, Clauses 2 and 3. Now, if you've got your pocket Constitution or you're online or whatever you want to use, whatever you've got there that you're reading from, go ahead and pull that out. And what you're going to see is it will grant to the president the power to approve or veto bills and resolutions that are passed by Congress. He has that power. So when you hear presidents come out and they say, well, I signed this bill because, oh, there's just no way around it. We had to get this done. It's full of unconstitutional stuff, but there's, you know, some major thing in there. Maybe it's the military. Maybe it's quote unquote security. Maybe it's this, that, and the other. And so I signed it. Do you guys remember in the morning, that you guys who join me for the morning show, If you remember last week, we played a short video. We were talking about taxation. We played a short video that was called Not Yours to Give. It was the story of Colonel Davy Crockett when he was in Congress and how he took and he signed on with an appropriation bill. I think it was like $20,000. There was like five families in Georgetown. Their houses burned down. And so they said, oh, let's get together. This would be a good thing. We can take care of them. So they went to the public treasury and they donated. They didn't donate. They stole and gave it to these five families, $20,000. And then when it was time for his reelection, he went back to his district and there was a very humble man there by the name of Horatio. And he was really looked up in his district as the guy to look to as to who do we put in there. And if you guys remember the story, he confronted Colonel Crockett and he said, you know, I'm not going to vote for you. You stole the money. You weren't authorized to do it. But what are we seeing constantly with Congress and even the president giving our money away from the public treasury to all kinds of countries, to all kinds of corporations? And I know, see, what they do is they get the people starting to pit against each other. And they'll go, well, see, the people in Western North Carolina or Tennessee or wherever a disaster happens, they go, well, you're not taking care of them, but you're taking care of the Ukraine. Well, here's the thing. They're not to give it to them either. Government is not charity. Government is force. That's what George Washington said. It's force. It is not charity. Again, it blows my mind sometimes why men want force, why they want that. Nevertheless, the president has the power to approve or to veto those bills or resolutions. All right. So not only was Davy Crockett a problem, but he did repent because when he was confronted, he was humbled over it. And he confessed his sin both to the guy who had called him out and also to the town, and he went on to serve and he kept his word because they came up with a Navy guy's widow, I think it was an admiral, and they were going to give her like $5,000. And he says, no, I can't do that. This is unconstitutional. It's unlawful. And he wouldn't do it. So praise God. See, there's real repentance and it's demonstrated not just in what you say, but in what you do. All right. So that's it. Article 1, Section 7, Clauses 2 and 3 grants the president the power to approve or veto bills and resolutions passed by Congress. That's number 1. Article 1, Section 9, next to the last clause, it grants to the executive branch, the Treasury Department, the power to write checks pursuant to appropriations made by law, i.e. made by Congress, according to the Constitution. Article 2, Section 1, Clause 1, vests executive power in the president. We'll talk about that in just a minute. And Article 2, Section 1, the last clause, sets forth the president's oath of office to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Article 2, Section 2, Clause 1, this is what it does. It makes the president the commander-in-chief of the armed forces when they have been called by Congress into the actual service of the United States. We'll pick this up on the other side of the break. Sons of Liberty Radio.com, Sons of Liberty Media.com. We'll be right back.
The annual Wisconsin Christian News Ministry Conference is set for April 4 and 5 in Wausau, Wisconsin. Our theme this year is Revival and Reverence, Returning to God, with some great speakers, including the courageous Pastor Art Pawlowski from Canada, Dr. Ted Brower, Matt Truella, Scott Shera, Pastor Butch Paw, and more. Learn more and get your tickets today at WisconsinChristianNews.com. This is sure to be the highlight of your year.
Hey there, this is award-winning international journalist Alex Newman. We live in a world dominated by fake news, lies, manipulation, and it's just out of control, folks. Our country is in big trouble. Our churches, our families, we need honest journalism today more than ever. And that's why I founded Liberty Sentinel Media. I hope you'll visit us today at libertysentinel.org, where you'll get access to exclusive content exposing threats to our faith, family, and freedom while equipping you to fight back. Go to libertysentinel.org today.
This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBSradio.com. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was correct when he said, "Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless people. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act." President Andrew Jackson rightly stated that if the Supreme Court is the final arbiter to decide differences of right and wrong, of what the Constitution says, then we have ceased to be our own rulers, and the Supreme Court is then become our ruler. Things don't turn up in this world until somebody turns them up. President James Garfield goes on and says, "I love agitation and investigation and glory in defending unpopular truth against popular error." Abolitionist William Lloyd Garrison said, "With reasonable men I will reason, with human men I will plead, but to tyrants I will give no quarter, nor waste arguments where they will certainly be lost."
Wisconsin Christian News, a 48-page national newspaper unlike anything you've seen before. Hard-hitting commentaries, politically incorrect, vital news and information you can't get anywhere else. Get a free sample copy. Email rob@wisconsinchristiannews.com and mention the name Bradley Dean. Caution, side effects of this newspaper for liberals and evangelifish include, but are not limited to, uncontrolled fits of rage, weeping and wailing, and the urge to curl up in a fetal position in a safe space in your mama's basement.
Content Christian Media Conference is hosting a one-day event on Monday, February 24th at Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas. It's one amazing day of fellowship, networking, screenings, panels, and inspirational keynotes. There'll be breakouts on filmmaking, storytelling, writing, distribution, and more, with lunch included. It's perfectly timed, just before the start of NRB.
Register at ChristianMediaConference.com.
BBSradio.com.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. All right. Again, if you're joining us and you've been looking for Bradley Dean, he is out and about across the country, and going to be doing some events here with his family. So he's asked me to fill in, and we're back to the enumerated powers of the president. Now, this is not a gearing towards, I'm just pointing it out with some one president or the other. This applies to all of them. And what you're going to be interested to find out is, do you know who the people are who enforce the law, the Constitution, against the president when he doesn't do what he's supposed to do? The people. They're supposed to do it. And it doesn't matter how much you like him, doesn't matter how much good he may have done, the object is, you're to deal with that, you're to at least call it in, you're at least to call it out. My goodness. But we got people who don't even want to call it out unless it's the other team's jersey. And so I'm just giving you down the line as far as what the Constitution says. And in this little bitty pocket Constitution I've got, it's right at three little pages. I mean, these are how little they are. Pages about as big as my hand. Well, it's not quite as big as my hand. They're a little small. So he doesn't have a lot that he's charged to do. And I know everything that comes along, everybody wants the president to do something about it. Do something about it. Doesn't matter if you're authorized or not. You got to do something.
I love, if you guys ever get a chance to see it, you ought to look up the 2004 presidential debate between the Communist Party guy, the Green Party guy, the Libertarian guy, and the Constitution Party guy. And the Constitution Party guy was Michael Peruca. We've had him on the show before. And they asked each of them 10 questions. They all got a chance to respond. Do you know that it was the first time that I ever heard any guy running for office say, Constitution doesn't give me any authority for that, so I wouldn't be doing anything about it. And Michael Peruca was the one who said it. And he didn't say it once. I think he answered two questions that way. Constitution doesn't give me any authority for it, I won't be doing it. So he understood the Constitution limits the authority when you go into this particular office. So we saw that he's able to do these things. And then we go to Article 2, Section 2, Clause 1, and the music was coming on for the break. So let me give you these real quick. This makes the president the commander-in-chief of the armed forces when called up. Let me read it directly here. It says, the president shall be commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy of the United States and of the militia. That is not the Guard or the Reserve. I know that's what they tried to do, but you can go back and read the framers of the Constitution in the Federalist Papers, and you'll find out the militia was the voluntary men, able-bodied age men. That's who the militia was. They were the people mentioned in the right at the beginning of the Constitution. Okay? So, again, this is another thing that we need to correct our thinking on. Who are the real law enforcers in the United States? According to the Constitution, the real law enforcers are the able-bodied men. That's who's supposed to be doing the law enforcing. Okay? I mean, it's not hard to understand. Anyway, he shall be commander-in-chief of the armed and Navy of the United States and of the militia of the several states when called into actual service of the United States. Now, who does the calling of them? Is that the president? Does he call them up? Well, he's the commander-in-chief. He should be. No. The actions, the calling up, the training, all of that is the responsibility of Congress. Congress is the one to declare war. That's found over in Article 1. They're to do that. By the way, they're to be providing for your law enforcers, the militia. See, police are not law enforcers. They're calling themselves that. They're policy enforcers. That's what they are. That's what police is. Policy enforcers. If you're going to get somebody in that kind of line of work who are law enforcers, you would go to your sheriff. He's an elected a person who is directly accountable to the people. But if you go over into Article 1, Section 8, Clauses 15 and 16, this is what it says that Congress is supposed to do regarding the law enforcers, the militia. They're to provide for calling forth the militia. See it? The president doesn't do it. The Congress does. They're to provide for calling forth the militia to do what? To execute the laws of the Union. They are the law enforcers. That's you, men, if you're listening to me. It's not the guys in blue, it's you. See how we've been duped? See how we've been given up what we're our duties of what we're supposed to do? And we've turned it over to hirelings? That's what we've done. That's why I call them agents of the state. They're getting paid by the state. They're not going to bite the hand that feeds them. We need to get that back. It also goes on to say that the militia are the ones who suppress insurrections. So when you saw the Summer of Love the other year during George Floyd and all that stuff, burning down cities and doing all this stuff, the militia should have been the ones to step in and shut that down. Not the National Guard, not the Reserve, the militia, the people of the community there, the people of the state. They have a vested interest in enforcing the law. Okay? Additionally, they are to be used to repel invasions. You see what's going on at our southern border. You see what's going on, people coming across the west out there in California through Mexico and such. You see that what's happening in the northern border. You see what happens even in Florida where people pull up on boats, they get out and they run into the city and disappear. That's what the militia is supposed to be stopping. But most people don't even know that, let alone be trained for it. I'm telling you guys, you need to get men in your community to get together and start talking this thing up. You need to start going to the Constitution and get out of the mockingbird media telling everything's going to be all right as long as you let us do what we're doing. That's not what's going on. So he can call them up when they have been called up by Congress, and not until then. It is Congress' duty to call them forth, and then he is to become commander-in-chief then over those men and to direct them. That's what he's supposed to do. All right, the next thing is it also authorizes the president to require the principal officers in the executive departments to provide written opinions upon the duties of their offices. Yep, it does talk about that as well in the Constitution. And it grants the president power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States, but he cannot stop impeachments of any federal judge or federal officer. So, you know, I know a lot of people were upset about, pardons that Joe Biden gave. And some people are upset about some pardons that Donald Trump gave. And some people were upset about Barack Obama's pardons and all these others. You gave him the authority here, guys. I'm just saying. And you know that the first people they're going to pardon are their buddies, their partners in crime. Okay? This is why I think John Adams would point to, you know, it's for religious and moral people. It's a people who understand they're accountable to God. And it's wholly inadequate to govern anybody else. And you see why we're not governing ourselves under that. Because what? We've departed wickedly from God. Oh, I know. People tell me, no, Tim, we love God. God has blessed us, blah, 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 blah. All right. I mean, all I got to do is show you the last, 4 or 5 years with the convids. Oh, but that was Biden. He was mad. Yeah, but it was the guy who unleashed it all. The bioweapons on the people, and he still hasn't been held accountable for it. I don't know when people are going to learn. I really don't know when they're going to learn. It goes on, and it grants him those things of reprieves and pardons. And then we go to Article 2, Section 2, okay? And there we're going to see that he has the power to make treaties with the advice and consent of the Senate. He is not to go out making treaties on his own. He's not to do that. He's to consult the Senate, and then the Senate is to approve that. It's a really strange thing with the USMCA, which was a sellout of American sovereignty, because we were told NAFTA was really bad. We were told Trans-Pacific Partnership was bad, which they were. Donald Trump was right on that. They were bad. But then he came back, and according to the Council on Foreign Relations president, the USMCA was not only NAFTA, it was NAFTA plus 10%. That's what he said. And then though he canned TPP, what did we get in the USMCA? Yeah, we got, I think it was close to, it was either 57 or 67, I'm losing the number right here, percent verbatim of TPP was in the USMCA. And nobody blinked. Nobody blinked at what he was doing there. It was indeed a sellout of American sovereignty. In fact, the things he's talking about now with tariffs, the president doesn't have authority to give tariffs. He doesn't have authority to impose tariffs without Congress. Congress is the one that does that. And now he's to enforce them, but Congress is the one to do tariffs. Yep, they certainly are. They're supposed to be the one who issue the layout of taxation and such. In fact, it's part of the first parts there where they're dealing with money. The Congress, this is Section 8, the first thing, the Congress shall have, of Article 1, the Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises to pay the debts and provide for the common defense, general welfare of the United States, but all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States. And then you look at, we gave them power to borrow. Ugh. Regulate commerce, all these other things back to Congress. But that is not the authority of the president. Hang on, final segment coming up. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com.
Every time we turn our heads the other way, when we see the flawed flouted, when we tolerate what we know to be wrong, when we close our eyes and ears to the corrupt because we're too busy or too frightened, when we fail to speak up and speak out, we strike a blow against freedom and decency and justice. Robert Kennedy. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same, or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. Martin Luther, the great reformer, stated, "When you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hold on."
Hello, this is Caleb Collier, host of Church and State. Find us at churchandstate.media. Take it from me, you have to listen to Bradley Dean. Bradley Dean is one of the greatest theologians and patriots of our time. He is leading the charge in our modern-day revolution. Bradley doesn't pull punches and always presents what is right, not beholden to party, politics, or pulpits. I am proud to call him friend. He is truly a son of liberty.
So you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and keep thinking to yourself, there are so many others who need to hear this message too, but you don't know quite how to reach them. Well, then this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. Why not schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty? It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. We all have loved ones, neighbors, and those around us that need to not only hear the truth, but be moved to action to do something about the problems that we face and make a difference in their own lives and communities. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean near you, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747 and start making a difference in your world today.
Don't have a place to go for church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with Scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all true Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you're looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inerrant Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on Sons of Liberty Radio Live on Rumble.
BBSRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. This is the final segment here. I don't know if we'll go over a little bit, but we'll see. We'll see how things go. Boy, it has gone fast. I felt like I read off two or three things there, and the time was gone. In any case, let's get to the end of this, because we're coming up on the end of the president's duties. As you can see, there's not many that he needs to be involved in. There's not many of these things he needs to involve himself in. But he does do several things. This final one comes from Article 2, Section 3. The president imposes the duty on the president to advise Congress on the State of the Union. So you get this once a year thing where he comes before Congress and he shares with them at least whatever he's wanting to say the State of the Union is. Usually it's propaganda. Let's just be honest about it. The president wants to make himself look good rather than be honest with the country about what the situation is with the Union. It authorizes the president to recommend to Congress such measures as he deems to be wise. It also authorizes the president on extraordinary occasions to convene one or both houses of Congress. When he asked, like, for instance, when he asked Congress to declare war. And if both houses cannot agree on when to adjourn, he's authorized to adjourn them whenever he thinks it's okay to do it. Article 2, Section 3 also imposes the duty upon the president to receive ambassadors and other public ministers. It imposes the duty upon the president to take care that the laws be faithfully executed. And it imposes the duty upon the president to commission all the officers of the United States. And there you have it in a nutshell. That's the authority any president, I don't care what jersey they wear, that's the authority they have. That's it. No more. None. They have no more authority other than that. All lawmaking is Congress. It's not the presidency. So what's with this executive stuff, you know? Writing executive orders. Well, if they are not done according to the Constitution, Article 1, Section 1, all legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in the Congress of the United States, and those, their authority is to do what? Write legislation that's based on the authority they've been given. And if they don't write law, if they don't write legislation based on the authority they've given, they go outside of that scope, it is to be shut down. It is to be ignored. It is to be considered null and void. And that's to be considered by the people. The people are to know it. They're to know what they can and cannot do. And the people are to say, no, 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 you can't do that. Like this anti-Semitism bill that they're trying to push through. You got no right to be, you got no authority for that. None. To be pushing that on the people. Zero. And the anti-Christian thing too. You don't have the right to do that. First Amendment already covers that. You have no authority to write law regarding those things. Period. You don't have any authority for it. So, when the president is busy writing executive orders, what are those orders towards? They are towards the departments that he, or the those who are under the executive branch are to be engaged in. Now, I've already told you who the law enforcers are. Who are they? Who are they, class? They're us, aren't they? They're not the FBI. They're not the CIA. They're not the EPA or any of those alphabet agencies. They're not any of those. Our Constitution says the enforcers of the law are who? The militia. Who are the ones to repel invasions? Is that the Border Patrol? Nope, that's you and me again. So why aren't we doing our duty? Most of us, it's because we don't even know it's our duty to do. We think it's the hireling's duty to do. You've been seeing some guys show up at the border. You've seen people out, I remember at Bundy Ranch, you saw a lot of militia guys go out there. Well, yeah, but some of them got thrown in jail. Yeah, that's because you've got tyrants. They're up against tyrants. We've allowed the tyranny to grow. We've not brought justice against it. And we allowed presidents to just write executive orders on just whatever they think. And sometimes they're good ones, and sometimes they're lawless ones. And by the way, when they write lawless ones, guess what? Article 2 provides for that too. Section 4, the president, vice president, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. What's a misdemeanor when you get that? I can't believe people would... I don't know what the thinking of was behind jaywalking, but that'd probably be considered a misdemeanor, right? Some little infraction of the law is a misdemeanor. This smallest little infraction of the law is a misdemeanor. They can be impeached for that. Oh, it doesn't. Now we hear it doesn't rise to the level of impeachment. Well, you know how far off the broken law it has to rise? About that high. And for those on the radio, I've just got, you know, my fingers kind of together almost. About that high. It just has to break the law in any part. And he can be impeached. And what's to happen to him after he's impeached? Well, we go over into Article 1, Section 3, Clause 7. And what do we read? But in all such cases, Article 1, Section 3, Clause 7. I'm losing my place here. My glasses. I got these bifocal things on, so they make them blurry if they're right down here. But it talks about the fact that once they have been impeached, what do? They can then prosecute them. Okay? They can then prosecute them. So be sure and check that out, because that's a serious thing. In fact, I don't know why we haven't had a lot more impeachments on almost every president, because all of them have done that I know of. All of them have committed some kind of misdemeanor as far as what the Constitution says. And we just got a guy out of office who was clearly engaged in treason, for which our forefathers would have took them out and hanged them. That's why they wouldn't be allowed to do it anymore, and it caused fear to the fear of God to be upon all the people. That's what Deuteronomy tells us, right? If you bring the death penalty against the one who is breaking the law like that, you do that so that the people learn. And by the way, who's the one who carries out that punishment? It was the people. It was the people. They're the ones who deal with that. The people do. Not a system that is a corrupt system. And boy, is it corrupt. It's corrupt all around. You know, we got the corrupt oftentimes trying to do the impeachments when many of them need to be impeached as well. These things apply to judges. It's not just the president or the vice president. It's any of these officers of the United States. And our representatives can be removed too. But if you've got a room full or a city full of corrupt individuals representing the people, how are you supposed to get that justice? They're not going to turn on each other, are they? If you remember, there were about 7 different bills or resolutions. I think they're considered a resolution, not a bill. There were about 7 different resolutions that were put forth in the House with articles of impeachment against Joe Biden. And hardly anybody got behind any of them. They all were screaming and telling you how bad he was, how lawless he was, how treasonous he was, and yet they wouldn't bring justice. There are representatives. And I know the cynicalness. I get it. I'm cynical too. I really am. But if you're going to play that game, then you're going to have to go to your representatives. You're going to start emailing. You're going to start calling. You're going to start getting in there and letting them hear your voice and your neighbor's voice. Otherwise, they think you're just fine with it. You're not going to do anything about it. And they're not interested in doing anything about it. All of this is there. This is what was established a long time ago. And the president is... He binds himself with an oath. My goodness, it's right here in the text. He binds himself with an oath to do those things right there and nothing else. And yet they go in office and the first day they'll violate it. The first day. It's almost like they got their hand up making their oath with their other hand with the fingers crossed. And it's up to the people to bring them back to the law. That's our duty. And if we don't do it, ain't nobody else going to do it. I hope that the Lord will grant us some repentance, that we'll begin to learn and understand and then act. Faith without works is dead, right, friends? We'll see you in the morning, 6 a.m., bright and early. Talk to you then.